The following is a seminar entitled Shraddha to Prema, Part 4, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 16th, 2011, in Riga, Latvia.
So, this is the final session of our Shraddha to Prema series. We hope that all of you who have attended this series will be very inspired now to go through all of the steps from Shraddha to Prema. The first step is, we will summarize, the first step is to have faith in the process.
Pirmais solis, tagad būs summējums iepriekšējām lekcijām, tad ir ticība šrādha šim procesam.
The second step is to associate with devotees.
Otrs solis ir biedroties ar bhaktām.
The third step is to take up the practices of Krishna consciousness.
Trešais solis ir sākt praktizēt Krishna apziņu.
Chant 16 rounds.
Skaidīt 16 apjus.
All of the four regulated principles.
Un sekot četriem regulējušiem principiem.
Take initiation. This stage is called Bhajana Kriya. And then all of the unwanted dirt in the heart becomes cleansed away. That stage of cleansing is called Anartana Vritti. And then when one becomes very fixed in Krishna consciousness, having cleansed the anartas, that is called the nishta stage. And then, when the taste for Krishna consciousness becomes very, very sweet, that is called ruchi. And when one's attachment becomes total and complete, and one has no longer any attachment for this material world, that's called the asakti stage. And then there's the preliminary stage of love of God, bhava.
And tad ir nākamais līmenis, tas pirms augstākā līmeņa, bhava.
And the full awakening of love of God, prema.
Un tad pilnībā, kad mīlestība uz Dievu izpaužās, tā ir prema.
So before we go deeper into these subject matters, I will first beg for the blessings of the great acharyas. Vandeha. Shri Guru. Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So we'll read some words from the Madhurya Kadambani. This is written by one of our great acharyas. Let's check the author. Who is the author? Be good to know who the author is. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is the same acharya who's written the Gravastakam we sing every morning. So we will simply read the synopsis of the book, which is in the very end. He describes as follows. I can give it to you and then you can try translating it off of this. After analyzing these verses, the relevant evidences can be clearly ascertained. The essence of everything discussed in this book can be presented in summary form from Ahankara, a false pride, in summary form, period. Ahankara, false pride, has two characteristics, Ahanta, self-engrossment, and Mamatta, attachment. By becoming attached to the body and everything related to the body, the jiva is kept enthralled. But by cultivating knowledge, these two characteristics of false pride are destroyed, and the jiva becomes liberated. Prema is defined as the state when the jiva thinks himself a member of the Lord's family and his eternal servant, and he worships only the Supreme Lord and his eternal associates. Meditating in this way through knowledge of the self, Ahanta, the jiva desires to serve the Lord and his eternal associates, and he develops attachment, mamatta, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In truth, prema is indeed transcendental to material entanglement and more rare than liberation. It is described as being the pinnacle of all material and spiritual pursuits, the ultimate destination of all the scriptures. A synopsis of the salient features of this book follows. It is formatted in a systematic way, tracing the gradual development of different spiritual conditions. Good fortune transforms the false ego and gross material attachments. These are replaced by self-knowledge and attached to the ways of a devotee. This consciousness becomes firm, and the devotee thinks, I shall become a householder Vaishnava and worship only the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, the cause of such a conviction is the saintly devotee's compassionate nature. Now, Paramatiki Shraddha enters his heart very slightly. He then becomes eligible to begin the process of pure devotional service. Later, by constantly associating with saintly persons, his slight Paramatiki Shraddha deepens and Bhajana Kriya is initiated. As long as Bhajana Kriya remains anishtata, regulative and not spontaneous, his ahanta and amata are partially projected onto spiritual activities, but he is still fully aware of the material world. When bhajana kriya becomes nishtata, or concentrated and more spontaneous, then mundane engrossment is practically destroyed, and the devotee experiences the profundity of spiritual consciousness. Ruchi, taste, then increases the attachments for internal spiritual development, and material life becomes distant and only a matter of utility rather than of necessity. This attachment for the spiritual enhances the internal spiritual experiences to an intense level, thus diminishing material experiences to insignificance. When bhava enters, spirituality is at a stage where devotional sentiments are continuously intense and material phenomena sometimes appear faintly distant and at other times totally non-existent. Again, at the initial stages of bhajana kriya, meditation on the Supreme Lord is in little flashes and is always intruded upon by material thoughts. In nishtita, the jhana meditation is hardly interrupted. in the stage of ruchi, the meditation is for longer periods and without external interruptions. In asakti, the meditations are deep and profound. And in the bhava stage, the Supreme Lord appears immediately in the meditation. Finally, in prema, exchanges with the Supreme are constant, direct, and personal. So right there was a synopsis of the book.
It's very deep and profound.
Huh?
It's a very profound philosophical text.
Yes.
I'm not sure that I can do it.
Do whatever you can do.
Does it teach philosophical text from synopsis?
Yeah. Synopsis means summary. Yeah. You can ask and I'll give you translation.
But she's grammar. Apkopojums. Es saku, mēs esam izanalizējuši šos pantus, ir pilnīgi redzami sekojoši pierādījumi. Ir redzami pierādījuši sekojošie. Šajā grāmatā tika diskutēta visa būtība, visa esence, un tā var tikt šobrīd sniegta kā tāds apkopojums. Ahamkara, viltus lepnumam ir divi raksturojumi. Pirmais ir ahanta, self-engrossment means self-engrossment.
Absorbed in oneself.
Tas ir, ka es esmu grimdējies sevi, un otrs raksturojušais lielums ir pieķeršanās, mamata. Cilvēks pieķeroties savam ķermenim un visam, kas attiecās uz ķermeni, tādā veidā dzīva tiek noturēta šajā te materiālajā pasaulē. Bet kultivējot zināšanas, šie divi raksturu lielumi, kas raksturo viltus lepnību, tiek iznīcināti un dzīva kļūst atbrīvota. Prēma tiek definēta kā līmenis, kur dzīva domā par sevi kā par dieva ģimenes biedru. Dieva ģimenes locekli. Un viņa mūžīgo kalpu. Un kad dvēsele pielūdz un kalpo vienīgi augstākajam kungam un viņa mūžīgajiem sekotājiem. Meditējot šādā veidā caur zināšanām par sevi, ahanta, kad dzīva vēlas kalpot Dievam un viņa mūžīgajiem sekotājiem un tā attīsta tādā veidā tā attīsta pieķeršanos Dieva augstākajai personībai. Patiesībā prēma patiešām ir pārpasaulīga attiecībā pret materiālo sapīšanos un ir daudz retāka nekā atbrīve. Tā ir tiek aprakstīta kā visu materiālo un garīgo centienu virsotne, kā augstākais galamērķis, kas minēts visos svētajos rakstos. Salient.
Salient means the salient features means the main features, the most important features.
Kopsavilkums šim te galvenajiem lielumiem, par kuriem runā šī grāmata, ir sekojoši. Tas ir apkopots un formatizēts kā sistemātisks ceļš, kas pakāpeniski ved cilvēku caur dažādiem garīgiem apstākļiem. Laba veiksme, veiksme transformē viltus ego un rupjā materiālā ķermeņa pieķeršanos. Un šis viltus ego un pieķeršanās tiek nomainīti ar zināšanām par sevi un pieķeršanos šiem te ceļam kļūt par baktu. Šī apziņa kļūst stabila un rezultātā bakta domā, man ir jākļūst par namsaimnieku vaišnavu un jākalpo vienīgi augstākajam dievam. Un patiesībā un galu galā šādas pārliecības cēlonis ir, ir svētas dvēseles līdzietīgā daba. Un tagad,
this is a special word, yeah?
It's yeah,
special
it's
paramatit vishraddha.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know, it's a Sanskrit word. Don't worry about it. Just, okay. It's just think of Shraddha.
Un tagad Shraddha iet šāda cilvēka sirdī ļoti viegli. Viņš tad kļūst kvalificēts sākt procesu, ka viņš ir kļūst kvalificēts sākt tīras, dievam tīras kalpošanas procesu. Un vēlāk, regulāri biedrojoties ar svētām personām, viņa Shraddha pamazām kļūst arvien dziļāka un bhajana krija parādās. Un tik ilgi, kamēr bhajana krija
as long as bhajana krija remains anishtha, what does it mean?
Yeah, there's an, that's like, it's before the anishtha stage, it's anishtha, mm-hmm. like anishtha. According, it's a more regulated, there's a type of steadiness which is regulated steadiness and there's the more spontaneous steadiness. That's mm-hmm. the differentiation.
Ah. Tik ilgi, kamēr bhajana krija ir saglabājis tādā stāvoklī, ka tā nav spontāna, bet ir notiek, bet tiek regulēta. Viņa šīs te divas sākotnēji minētās tās īpašības, kas ir viltu slepnībai, daļēji parādās garīgajās izpausmēs. He's still fully
aware of material world, meaning aware of material world. Means
the external world. Yeah,
he understands that there is external world.
He's still very much tuned into the external world.
Tātad viņš joprojām šāds cilvēks ir apzinās, ka ir ārējā materiālā pasaule, un viņš ar to ir joprojām saistīts. Kad bhajana krija kļūst par nishtu vai koncentrētu un vairāk spontāna, tad šie te laicīgie tās laicīgās lietas praktiski tiek iznīcinātas un bakta izjūt ļoti dziļu viņš izjūt šīs garīgās apziņas dziļumu ruči garša tad palielinās ruči tad palielina pieķeršanos iekšējai garīgajai attīstībai un materiālā dzīve kļūst arvien tālāka un tā ir vienkārši tāda tā pastāv, bet tā vairāk nav nepieciešamība. Šī pieķeršanās garīgumam tad palielina šo iekšējo garīgo pieredzi un pacer to uz ārkārtīgi intensīvu līmeni. Tādējādā veidā nomācot un padarot praktiski pilnībā nomācot materiālo pieredzi un materiālās pasaules ietekmi. Kad bāvas līmenis parādās, garīgums ir tādā līmenī, kad kalpošanas dievam rezultātā gūtās jūtas ir nepārtraukti intensīvas un material phenomena
in this case means
where?
Material phenomena
is the happenings of the material world. They become distant, they pale into insignificance, they fade away.
Yeah. Un materiālā pasaule kā tāda patiesībā praktiski izzūd un neeksistē. Vēlreiz sākotnējos Vajans Krīs līmiņos meditācija uz augstāko kungu tā dažkārt raustās un dažkārt to pārtrauc domas, kas saistīts ar materiālo pasauli. Bet Nishtha meditāciju ļoti reti kaut kas pārtrauc. Ručī līmenī meditācija ir ilgāka un spēja noturēties, spēja būt ilgāka bez ārējiem pārtraukumiem. Ar šaktī līmenī meditācija ir dziļa, jā, ļoti, ļoti dziļa, un bāvas līmenī augstākais kungs parādās nekavējoties meditācijas laikā. Galu galā prēmā apmaiņa ar augstāko kungu ir pastāvīga, tieša un personāla.
So, this is a very exciting process, this process of Krishna consciousness.
Tas ir ļoti aizraujošs process, šī Krishnas apziņas kustība.
You actually become in the prema stage, you actually have, as is described here, you have constant, direct, personal exchanges with Krishna.
Tad, kad jūs nonākat premas līmenī, kā šeit ir rakstīts, jums ir nepārtrauc un tiešas apmaiņa ar Dievu.
Krishna is revealed in the bhava stage. You actually see Krishna in his original form in the bhava stage.
Jo bhavas līmenī Krishna atklāja sevi, jūs redzat viņa sākotnējo formu.
But in the prema stage you're having exchanges with him.
Bet premas līmenī jums ir miedarbība ar viņu.
And as pointed out by Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna becomes under your control in the prema stage.
Un kā Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur saka, ka šajā te līmenī, prēmas līmenī, jūs jau kontrolējat Krishna.
So it's inconceivable to us what that stage would be like, but if you follow this process very carefully under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master.
Tas ir praktiski neaptveram mums, kā šis te līmenis, bet jūs uzmanīgi sekosiet garīgā skolotāja norādījumiem.
Then you will surely reach this stage in due course of time.
Tad noteiktā laikā es pilnīgi noteikti sasniegšot šo te līmeni.
As we left off with the Bhajana Kriya stage, that's where we left off yesterday.
Mēs pabeidzām vakardienu ar Bhajana Kriya līmeni.
I mean to say the Anartana Vritti stage.
Es gribēju teikt, Anartana Vritti līmeni.
The Anartana Vritti stage, one is still being is still very much pulled by one's material desires.
Un šajā Anartana Vritti līmenī cilvēki vienalga apgrūtina viņa materiālās vēlmes.
But when he comes to the Nishta stage, that means the influence of the modes of nature has stopped.
Bet nonākot Nishta līmenī, jau materiālās pasaules gunu ietekme pārtrauksta.
The Anartana Vritti stage means you're battling it out with Maya. You're battling it out with Maya.
Anartana Vritti līmenī, jūs cīnaties, jums ir kauja ar Maya.
And when you get to the Nishta stage, even though the material qualities of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, passion, ignorance is still in your heart, even though they're still there.
Bet Nishtas līmenī, lai gan šī te ietekme, kas ir, ko rada, iekāra, dusmas, alkatība, ilūzija, neprāts un skaldība, un tumsība un kaislība, joprojām atstāja iespēju uz jums.
They become inactive.
Viņas ir neaktīvas.
You don't have to fight with anymore. They're just they're neutralized.
Viņas ir neutralizētas, un jums ar tām vairāk nav jācīnās.
Actually, these material qualities they stay in the heart up until you reach the bhava stage. At that stage, they're completely washed up.
Patiesībā šīs materiālās īpašības paliek jūsu sirdī līdz pat bāvas līmenim, un pēc tam tās pilnībā tiek aizstāvotas projām.
But as soon as you get to nishta, they're no longer you're no longer battling it out with these qualities. They're neutral.
Bet jūs tiekat līdz nishtas līmenim, tad jums vairāk nevar tām jācīnās, jo tās ir neutralizētas.
So then after nishta, you come to the stage of ruchi, or taste.
Pēc tam, pēc nišas līmenis, jūs sasniedzat ruči, jeb garšas līmeni.
At this stage, you have absolutely no interest in any kind of activities outside of Krishna consciousness.
Un šajā līmenī jums nav nekāda interesa par citām darbībām, izņemot tām, kas saistīts ar Krishna's apziņu.
You consider anything that's not Krishna conscious to be an absolute, total waste of time.
Tad cilvēks uzskata, ka jebkura darbība, kas nav saistīta ar Krishna's apziņu, ir pilnīgi laika šķiešana.
Before the ruči stage, one is fixed in Krishna consciousness, but it's still an austerity, a tapā.
Pirms ruči līmeņa, cilvēks joprojām ir Krishna's apziņā, bet tā, sekot Krishna's, kultivēt Krishna's apziņu, tā ir askēze zināms.
But when you come to the ruči stage, it's not an austerity anymore.
Bet sasniedzot ruči līmeni, tā vairs nav askēze.
You can chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, and it's not even an austerity, you're just like tasting a big glob jamun.
Jūs varat skandēt mahamantu 24 stundas diennaktī, un tā vairs nav askēs, tas ir kā baudīt glob jamuns.
So, then when you become even more advanced, you achieve the stage of attachment, asakti.
Un tad, kad jūs vēl vairāk attīstaties, tad jūs sasniedzat pieķeršanās līmeni, asakti.
This there was then there's all the struggle is completely gone.
Un tad jebkādas tādi centieni cīnīties, pūliņi pilnībā ir aizgājuši projām.
Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the astakti stage, you can actually see at what point you became completely free from the influence of the material energy.
Astakti līmenī, ka jūs ieraugat to brīdi, kad jūs pilnībā kļūstat brīvs no materiālās pasaules ietekmes.
When you get to the bhava stage, now all those anarchas are gone.
Un bhavas līmenī visas anarchas ir pazudušas.
There's spontaneous spiritual emotion.
Ir spontānas garīgas emocijas.
Krishna appears before you.
Krishna parādās jūs priekšā.
You realize your original spiritual form, your svarup.
Jūs saprotat, kāda ir jūsu garīgā forma, svarupa.
And you're constantly remembering Krishna whether you're awake or whether you're asleep. You're in constant remembrance of Krishna.
Jūs vienmēr atceraties Krishna, neatkarīgi no tā, vai esat nomodā vai guļat.
So, then as I explained, when you get to prema, then you're having constant loving exchange with Krishna, rasa.
Un kā jūs izskaidrojat, tad prēmas līmenī jums ir rasa, nepārtrauktas, mīļadarbība, apmaiņa ar Krishna.
And Krishna becomes under your control.
Un Krishna nonāk jūsu kontrolē.
So, how do we get there?
Kā lai tur tiek?
That's an important question.
Tas ir svarīgs jautājums.
And we have to be careful not to imagine ourselves on being some higher platform than we're really on, so that can be a danger. To hear about these exalted states, we'll think, well, I think I'm in the bhava stage. If you read carefully these descriptions, you can see where you're at on the scale.
Jūs uzmanīgi lasīsiet, tad jūs redzēsiet, kur jūs esat šajā skalā.
If you're not initiated yet, you haven't even gotten bhajana kriya.
Ja neesat iniciēts, tad jūs pat neesat bhajana kriya līmenī.
Bhajana kriya means you're now initiated.
Bhajana kriya nozīmē, ka tagad jūs saņems iniciāciju.
And then when you're battling it out with all those bad qualities, that's the nartanavritti stage.
Un kad jūs cīnāties ar visām šīm sliktajām kvalitātēm, īpašībām, tad jūs esat nartanavritti līmenī.
So if we look at it objectively, that's where most of us will find ourselves. We'll find ourselves down there at the nartanavritti stage or earlier than that.
Un, ja mēs objektīvi paskatīsimies, tad lielākā daļa no mums mēs esam un ar līmenī vai zemāk.
We're not initiated, we're at the sadhu sangha stage.
tie, kas nav iniciēti, savu sāngas līmenī.
And if we're initiated, we're at the anartha nirvritti stage.
Un tie, kas ir iniciēti, anartha nirvritti līmenī.
And some may be at the nishta stage.
Varbūt daži ir nishtas līmenī.
Or they could be even higher.
Varbūt viņi ir pat augstāk.
But as long as we are experiencing any pull of the material nature,
bet tik ilgi, kamēr mēs jūtam kādu materiālās pasaules ietekmi,
then you can be sure you haven't got to nishta yet.
Jūs varat pilnīgi būt droši, ka jūs neesat vēl nishtas līmenī.
Because in nishta, there's no, those modes aren't pulling on you anymore.
Tāpēc, ka nishtas līmenī materiālās pasaules gunas vairāk jūs netraucē.
So, how then are we to progress from our present state? That's the real question.
Patiesais jautājums, kā mums no esošā līmeņa progresēt augstāk?
How can we make steady progress?
Kā mēs varam pastāvīgi progresu veikt?
Well, we have to see that the importance of the spiritual master.
Pirmkārt, mums ir jāredz garīgās skolotājas svarīgums.
Yasha prasādahan bhagavat prasādo Yasha prasādahan nāgati kutopi Daiham stuvam stasya yasastri sanjam Vante guto shri charanaravindam. The author of that verse is the same author as this book that we're reading from.
Autors šim te pantam ir tas pats, kas uzrakstījis grāmatu, no kuras mēs lasām šobrīd.
So it is very, very essential that I take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
Tas ir ļoti, ļoti svarīgi pieņemt patvērumu pie patiesa garīgā skolotāja.
This is confirmed by Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami to apstiprina.
In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Bhakti Nektārā.
Adao garashvayam sadharma prichat sadhu marganu gamanam. In the beginning, the very first step is one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Sat dharma prichcha, one should inquire from him about spiritual realization. Sadhu marganu gamanam. And one should follow in the footsteps of the great saintly devotees of the Lord.
Un cilvēkam ir jāseko dižo Dieva kalpu ceļam, pēdā.
In other words, this advancement in Krishna consciousness, you cannot do it on your own strength.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, šo progresu Krishna apziņā jūs nevarat veikt, paļaujoties tikai uz saviem spēkiem.
One advances by the mercy of the spiritual master.
Cilvēks progresē pateicoties garīgā skolotāja žēlastībai.
So if you want to really advance, you have to have a spiritual master.
Un jūs tiešām vēlaties progresēt, jums ir nepieciešams garīgās
And to qualify for a spiritual master, you have to be able to chant at least 16 rounds regularly and follow the four regulated principles.
Un lai jūs varētu būt kvalificēts, saņemt iniciāciju, jums ir jāskaita vismaz 16 āpri mahamāt katru dienu, jāskaita četriem regulējušiem principiem.
Therefore, everyone who is serious to achieve love of God, Krishna prema,
tāpēc ik viens, kas ir ļoti nopietni noskaņots iegūt Dievu mīlestību,
should be chanting 16 rounds and following these four principles or working towards that end as soon as possible.
Tam ir tādam cilvēkam ir jāskaita 16 āpri, jāsako četriem regulējušiem principiem vai vismaz jācenšas, jāvirzās tajā virzienā, lai pēc iespējas ātrāk to sasniegt.
Sometimes we hear it said that, well, you shouldn't start off chanting 16 rounds, you should take a lower number and gradually work your way up.
Dažkārt mēs dzirdam, ka jums nevajag sākt ar 16 āpriem, sāciet ar mazāku skaitu un pakāpeniski virzieties uz priekšu.
Why should be postponed?
Bet kāpēc atlikt to?
If someone cannot chant 16 rounds, that's one thing.
Ja kāds nevar 16 āpriem skandēt, tas ir cita.
But someone who can chant 16 from the first day, why they have to wait?
Bet ja cilvēks var atkārtot 16 āpriem no pirmās dienas, kāpēc kavēties?
When I first started chanting japa, I chanted 16 rounds the first day.
Kad es sāku savā laikā japu, es no pirmās dienas sāku ar 16 āpriem.
The point is, why postpone it?
Tā doma ir, kāpēc atlikt to?
If you're suffering in this material world, why not get out as soon as possible? If you absolutely can't do it, well, that's all right, then gradually increase. But if you can chant 16 rounds, you should start tomorrow with 16 rounds. Any of you here in this room who are not chanting 16 rounds, who are able to do it, tomorrow you must begin to
16.
Why delay your liberation? Why not get liberated as soon as possible?
I mean,
what's the most important thing we do every day? Is eating the most important thing? We think it is. We would never think of not eating. We would never think of not eating. We ask someone, well, chant 16 rounds. And they say, well, I'll try. But I ask them, will you try to eat tomorrow? Or will you eat? So, no, I'll eat. I'm not going to try to eat. I will eat. So, if you're going to eat and not try to eat, then you should chant, not try to chant. Chanting is feeding what? Eating is feeding what? Eating is feeding your body. How long are you going to have that body anyway? 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years. It's only temporary. So I don't say you shouldn't feed your body. But if you intelligently analyze, you'll understand it's more important to feed my soul by chanting than it is to feed my body by eating.
Bet ja jūs tā saprātīgi padomāsiet, tad ir svarīgi parūpēties par savu dvēseli, nevis mēģināt noturēt pie dzīvības savu ķermeni.
So by a simple analysis, it's much more intelligent to chant 16 rounds than it is to eat.
Tātad šāda analīze rāda, ka daudz svarīgāk ir atkārtot 16 tapus nekā ēst.
Therefore, your chanting is more important than your eating.
Tāpēc atkārtošana ir svarīgāka nekā ēšana.
Therefore, my program is I don't eat until I finish my rounds every day. First 16 rounds and then breakfast. I'm not saying it's a rule, but I'm saying if you can do it, it will really be good for you to do that. Because we always find the time to eat. And sometimes we have a hard time finding the time to chant. You're not going to die if you postpone your eating until your rounds are done. And by chanting those rounds every day as early as possible, you're going to help awaken that Krishna prema within your heart.
Un katru dienu, skandējot šo sapni, cik agri vien iespējams, jūs pamodināsiet sevi šo Krishna prema.
And you awaken that Krishna prema, as we just read, you will have direct, loving, personal exchange with Krishna 24 hours a day. Krishna will become your personal associate. He'll even put himself under your direction like he did for Mother Jasoda and Arjuna.
Un viņš ļaus jums kļūt par to, kas viņu kontrolē, kā viņš to izdarīja Mācīja Šodas un Arjunas gadījumā.
But you have to be completely attached to Krishna before he's going to do that.
Bet, lai viņš to darīt, jums ir jābūt pilnībā pieķēršanies Krishna.
He doesn't do that for persons who are still attached to the material nature.
Viņš to nedara attiecībā uz cilvēkiem, kas joprojām ir pieķēršies materiālajai pasaulē.
You have to become completely, totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You have to conquer over all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, and envy.
iekāre, dusmas, alkatība, ilūzija, trakums un skaudība.
So if you will chant the 16 rounds, you follow the four regular principles, and you'll begin to take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master.
Un tad, ja jūs skaitīsiet 16 aktus regulāri, sekosiet četriem regulējušiem principiem un pieņemsiet iniciāciju pie paties garīgā skolotāja,
that will be the next step.
Kas būs nākamais līmenis?
The spiritual master will engage you in service.
Garīgais skolotājs iesaistīs jūs kalpošanā.
He will say, I want you to do this.
Viņš teiks, es vēlos, lai tu darītu lūko.
And then you do them. You see, you follow your guru's instructions.
Un tad jūs to darāt un sekojat savu guru norādījumiem.
You accept his instructions as your very life and soul.
Jūs pieņemat viņu norādījumus kā pašu galveno savā dzīvē.
By doing that, sometimes they say, well, oh, Gurudev, I'd like to take shelter of you. Sometimes we hear that, you see.
Dažkārt cilvēki saka, Gurudev, es vēlētos pieņemt patvērumu pie jums.
So what does that mean, to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master?
Ko tas nozīmē, pieņemt patvērumu pie paties garīgā skolotāja?
Shelter means to obey the orders.
Patvērums nozīmē sekot norādījumiem.
It's not some magic wand, oh, now, shelter.
Tas nav kāds brīnums, no viņa, oh, tagad man ir patvērums.
No, it means you have to do your duty. You have to execute your duty. That's how you get shelter.
Tas nozīmē, ka jums jāpild savus pienākumus tādā veidā, jūs saņemat patvērumu.
Spiritual master gives an instruction. Chant 16 rounds, follow these principles.
Garīgais skolotājs dod norādījumu, atkārto 16 aprakstus sekošiem norādījumiem, sekošiem principiem.
By following those instructions, now you're sheltered automatically.
Un tagad sekojot šiem te norādījumiem, jūs automātiski esat patvērumā.
Even if you have not gotten formal ISKCON shelter, if you're following the instructions of the spiritual master to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regular principles, you're already sheltered.
Bet ja jums nav patvērums, oficiālais patvērums pie ISKCON, bet ja jūs sekojat skolotāju norādījumiem, skandējat 16 aprius un sekojat regulējušiem principiem, jums ir skolotāju patvērums.
So the shelter is available for everyone.
Patvērums ir iespējams ikvienam.
You simply have to agree to follow these regulated principles and chant 16 rounds.
Jums vienkārši jāpiekrīt sekot šiem principiem un skandējat 16 aprius.
And then when you can show that you can prove to the devotees that you're studying this, and they will recommend you for initiation.
Un kad jūs apkārtējiem baktām pierādāt savu stabilitāti, tad viņi rekomendēs jūs iniciāciju.
That initiation then strengthens your tie, your relationship with the spiritual master.
Un šī iniciācija tad stiprinās jūsu saites ar attiecības ar garīgo skolotāju.
Just like a boy and girl, they may be in love, but when they get married, now they're tied solidly together, you see.
Tā kā puisis ar meitēm viņi ir iemīlējušies viens otrā, bet tad, kad viņi oficiāli aprecās, tad viņa attiecības kļūst stiprākas.
So initiation means now you're tied solidly together with the spiritual master. That's initiation.
Iniciācija nozīmē, ka jūs saites ar garīgo skolotāju tagad ir pavisam stiprs.
So that means now my business is finished, I'm initiated.
Vai to varētu kāds teikt, no viss ir galā, es esmu iniciāciju saņēmis.
Now I can just serve my senses and not worry about anything.
Tagad es varu kalpot savām maņām.
That's called Christianity. I accepted Jesus, so now I'm saved. I can do anything I want, it doesn't matter. I can be as sinful as I want, it doesn't matter, because I accepted Jesus, and now I'm saved. I got initiated, so now I'm saved. Guru Maharaj will save me. Does it work that way? When you study how to fly an airplane, your flight guru, your trainer pilot, he flies with you to train you. When you're learning how to fly an airplane, you have a trainer pilot who trains you how to be a pilot.
Tad, kad jūs māsties kā vadīt lidmašīnu, jums ir pilots, kas jūs apmāca.
Whenever you go flying, he's there with you. He has his controls, you have yours, and that way you're protected.
Un tad, kad jūs lidojat, tad jums ir jūsu vadība, viņam ir viņa vadība, bet jūs esat aizsargāts, jo viņš kontrolē, ko jūs darāt.
But to get certified as a pilot, what do you have to do?
Bet, lai jūs saņemtu pilota certifikātu, kas jums ir jāspēj darīt?
You have to take a solo flight without your trainer.
Jums ir jāspēj nolidot pašam bez sava skolotāja.
So the time of leaving this body, the spiritual master cannot liberate you unless you are actually doing your part.
Tātad tajā brīdī, kad jūs atstāsiet savu ķermeni, garīgais skolotājs nevar jūs atbrīvot, ja jūs neveiksiet savu.
You have to remember Krishna yourself.
Jums pašam ir jāatcerās Krishna.
So that means, as a disciple of my spiritual master, he will help me.
As a disciple of my spiritual master,
he will help me to be Krishna conscious.
Tātad es esmu savu garīgās skolotājs skolnieks, un mans skolotājs palīdzēs būt man šajā apziņā.
But I have to make that endeavor.
Bet man pašam šie centieni jāveic.
Not that I can just sit back and eat and sleep and say, Guru Maharaj will save me.
Ne tā, kā es vienkārši mierīgi sēžu, ēdu un guļu un saku, skolotāji, glābiet mani.
I have to make the endeavor to rise early in the morning.
Man ir jāpieliek pūliņi celties agri no rīta.
To take my bath. To put tilak on my body. To pick up those beads and chant. To offer my food. I have to make this endeavor. To pick up the books, Prabhupada's books, and study them. To go to the temple. To do service. I have to do those things. I have to make that endeavor. My spiritual master is not going to chant my rounds for me. I have to chant them myself. So guru is essential, but guru is not everything.
Guru ir būtisks, bet guru nav viss.
You have to do your share.
Jums ir jādara un savu daļu.
You have to make the endeavor from your side.
Jums ir centieni jāpieliek no savas puses.
To serve your spiritual master's order.
Izpildīt savu garīgā skolotāja norādījumus.
So, to be really sheltered by the bona fide spiritual master, you have to work hard. You have to dedicate your whole life to working hard to please your spiritual master. With your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. So if you will do that, then you will naturally progress through all these stages. You don't need to get another guru to go to the higher stages. Some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they were making propaganda to the ISKCON devotees that Prabhupada took you to a certain level, and now you have to come to me if you want to go to the higher levels.
Daži gaudēji vaišnāk izplat tādu propagandu, ka Prabhupāda jūs ir pacēlis līdz noteiktam līmenim, bet lai tiktu tālāk, jums ir nepieciešami citi garīgie skolotāji.
This is completely bogus propaganda.
Un tā ir pilnīgi viltus propaganda.
Simply by following this program given by Srila Prabhupāda and his books.
Vienkārši sekojot programmai, ko Srila Prabhupāda ir devis un viņa grāmatām.
As represented by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Tādā veidā, kā to prezentē, jūs sniedz starptautiskā Krišnas apziņas biedrība.
You can achieve the highest perfection.
Jūs varat sasniegt augstāko pilnību.
You can realize what is your rasa with Krishna.
Jūs varat saprast, kāda ir jūsu rasa ar Krishna.
And you can become practically established in your rasa with Krishna, all simply by following what's in Prabhupada.
Jūs varat nostiprināties šajā rasā ar Krishna, vienkārši sekojot visiem šiem te aprakstītiem.
Under the guidance of your spiritual master. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
What is the minimum level one has to achieve if he wants to go to Goloka Vrindavana after giving his body?
Kāds ir zemākais līmenis, kas cilvēkam ir jāsasniedz, ja pēc ķermeņa atstāšanas viņš vēlas sasniegt Goloka Vrindavana?
Krishna is very kind.
Krishna ir ļoti laipns.
No matter what level you're on,
no, sorry, kādā līmenī jūs esat,
if you can somehow just remember Krishna at the time of death,
ja jūs varat atcerēties nāves brīdī, tā vai savādā Krishna,
he'll cover whatever you're lacking and he'll reinstate you in your position.
Tad viss, kas jums ir trūcis, tas tiek piedots un jūs sakot, stāvoklis tiek atmainīts.
Even if you're battling it out at the Nartanaviti stage. If you can remember Krishna at the time of death, Krishna will say, all right, come on. Actually, it's described in Prabhupada's books. That in your next birth, you take birth in this material world where Krishna is having his pastimes.
Nākamajā dzīvē jūs piedzimstat šajā materiālajā pasaulē, bet Krishna spēlē savas spēles.
You get to be a Brijabasi here when Krishna's earthly is Gokula pastime somewhere in the material world.
Piemēram, jūs esat Brijabasi šeit, Gokula, kur Krishna spēlē savas spēles.
That way you get fully trained up in your rasa, you see.
Un tādā veidā jūs pilnībā tiekat uztrenēts savā rasā.
Before you go to Goloka Vrindavan. Any other questions?
So, Raj, so today you explained the different levels. The soul is gradually reaching and these stages. So my question is, by developing these stages, the soul also gets rid of her karma?
Gets rid of karma.
Yeah. Šodien jūs aprakstījāt šos līmeņus, ar kuriem dvēsele ir jāiziet, un jautājums, vai iziet cauri šiem līmeņiem, dvēsele atbrīvojas arī no savas karmas.
Yes, one becomes completely purified of all his karma. That's right.
Jā, dvēsele pilnībā tiek attīrīta no visas karmas.
On which stage?
Kurā līmenī? Hmm? On which stage?
As we were discussing, the dirt in the heart actually remains, even though it's inactive, it stays up until you reach the bhava stage. You still have that dirt in the heart.
Kā jau tika teikts, lai gan šie te sārņi,
but at bhava it's completely cleansed away. All the dirt is, by bhava stage, it's all completely cleansed up by bhava stage.
Bet sasniegt uz bhava līmeni, visi sārņi ir iztīrīti.
And one more question. So do the spiritual master knows our svarupa?
Jautājums, vai garīgais skolotājs zina mūsu garīgo formu svarupu?
Does the spiritual master know our svarupa? So that's like saying, well, does Prabhupada know my svarupa? One can ask.
Your.
Does Prabhupada know Sankarshan Das's svarupa?
Tas ir tā, kā pajautāt, vai Prabhupada zina Sankarshan Maharaja svarupu.
Well, I'm sure that Prabhupada has access to that information.
Es esmu pārliecināts, ka Prabhupada ir pieeja pie šīs informācijas.
So why didn't he tell me? There are gurus who will tell you what your svarupa is. Why didn't Prabhupada tell me?
Ir guru, kas saka, kāda ir jūsu svarupa, bet kāpēc Prabhupada neteica man to?
When we would ask such things of Prabhupada, he would say, that you do not require. He'd be very strong. That you do not require.
Un ja mēs jautājām kaut ko tādu Prabhupādam, tad viņš ļoti strikt atbildētu.
Actually, that such questions are not at all relevant.
Šādi jautājumi nav būtiski.
It's like trying to get there without being qualified.
Tas ir kā mēģināt tur nokļūt, nebūdam, nesot attiecīgā līmenī.
So if you meet a spiritual master who says, come here, my dear devotee, I will tell you what your svarupa is.
Jūs atiekat garīgo skolotāju, kas saka, nāc šur, dārgais, es tev pateikšu, kāda ir tava svarupa.
You should run away as fast as you can.
Jūs ir jānūk no tā, cik ātri ir var.
So my question was not that he told us, but that if he knows this,
mans jautājums bija, vai viņš ne par to, lai viņš mums pasaka, bet vai viņš zina.
Huh?
Question is not about telling me, but the question is...
I already answered that Prabhupada certainly has access to that information. I already answered that question.
Atbildēju, ka Prabhupada pilnīgi noteikti bija pieeja šādai informācijai.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Kas ir labākais veids, kā studēt Prabhupādas grāmatas? What is the best approach to study the books of Srila Prabhupāda?
Keen enthusiasm.
Entuziasm takoj. Vi должны желать энтузиазма. Искренний энтузиазм. Энтузиазм явно тогда, патриса.
If you're enthusiastic to read Prabhupada's books, you're going to get a lot of mercy.
jums būs entuziasms lasīt Prabhupādas grāmatu, tad jūs saņemsiet ļoti daudz žēlastības.
If you read them at every chance you get, Prabhupāda is going to really give you a lot of mercy.
Ja jūs lasīsiet tās pie katras izdevības, kas jums radīsies, tad Prabhupāda jums dos ļoti daudz žēlastības.
The most important thing is to be very, very enthusiastic.
Tāpēc, ka pat galvenā lieta ir būt ļoti, ļoti entuziasmu pilnā.
Read Prabhupāda's books as much as possible.
Lasiet Prabhupāda's grāmatas cik vien iespējams.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums.
Это не мой вопрос, это вопрос молодой девушки. Но я не буду сейчас говорить этот вопрос. Я просто хочу сказать, что весь ваш семинар был посвящен как раз этому вопросу, как преодолеть то, что спросила у меня эта девушка. Потому что от шатхи до премы вы все время говорили о том, как преодолеть негативные качества.
Viss šis seminārs, man bija tāds jautājums, ko man kāda jauna meitene vēlējās, lai es pajautāju, bet es šo jautājumu šobrīd neuzdošu, jo viss jūs seminārs bija kā atbilde uz šo jautājumu. Un pēc būtības, kā ceļā no šrātkas līdz prēmai, kā pārvarēt iekāri.
I have a question, which is not my question, but one young lady asked me to ask that question. But actually, I'm not going to ask it, because the whole seminar was devoted to answer that question. I see that the seminar was devoted to answer how, on the pathway from Shraddha to Prema, conquer lust.
That's the question?
No, it's not a question, it's just...
It's already answered, okay.
It's an opinion. Because she asked how to conquer lust.
Yeah, one has to get a higher taste. That's all. Once you have a taste for pleasing Krishna, who wants to please those stupid rascal senses, you know?
Tas, kurš iegūst šo augstāko garšu, kā iepriecināt Krišnu, viņam vairs nav nekādas intereses, kā savas maņas apmierināt.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums.
Once having reached one of the described levels, can a soul again become covered and like fall back?
From which level?
Let's say higher levels. Exactly. Yeah.
You want to know what level a soul can fall down?
Yeah, yeah.
Jautājums ir, vai sasniedzot kāds no šiem īpaši augstākos līmeņus, dvēseli var atkal pārklāt šī materiāla enerģija, viņi var krist atpakaļ.
Prabhupāda explains that actually how some devotees fell from the bhava stage.
Prabhupāda ir aprakstījis, kā daži bhakti skrīt no bhavas līmeņa.
Any other questions?
Vēl jautājumi?
Kad bhakti attīstās no šrātkas līdz prēmai, viņa attiecības ar Krišnu ir tuvāk un tuvāk. Viņš redz Krišnu, un viņam ļoti ciešas attiecības ar Krišnu. Ja? Un tajā pašā laikā es lasīju, kad bhakti attīstās, viņam attīstās tādu no atšķirtības sajūta. Krištas nav, jā, mums cieš atšķirtībā, jā. Nu, kā to savienot?
You describe how on this pathway from Shraddha to Prema relationships with Krishna becomes tighter and stronger. But on the other hand, I have read that the more one advances, the more one feels separation from Krishna. How to understand that?
Yeah. The more you feel separation from Krishna, the more Krishna becomes close to you.
Jo vairāk jūs jūtat atšķirtību no Krishnas, jo vairāk Krishna kļūst jums tuvāks.
Separation increases the intensity of love.
Atšķirtība palielina mīlestības intensitāti.
This is like a mundane example. A boy is in love with a girl.
And
they have happy times together, walking here, going there, going to the park, doing this and that together. Expressing their love for one another. expressing their love for one another. But then, if that boy or that girl has to go away for some time, and they are writing love letters to each other, the expression of love in those love letters is much more intense than any love they ever expressed for each other when they were meeting each other.
Tad mīlestības izpausme šajās te mīlas vēstulēs ir daudz spēcīgāka nekā tā izpausme, ko viņi baudīja, tad viņi bija kopā.
Separation increases the intensity of love.
Atšķirtība pastiprina mīlestības jūtas.
Therefore, the Goswamis, even though they were fully qualified to see Krishna at every minute,
tāpēc Goswami, kaut gan viņi bija pilnībā kvalificēti redzēt Krishna ik mirkli,
they prefer to be in the mood of where is Krishna, where is Krishna. They were wandering in Vrindavan, looking, where is Krishna, where is
Krishna.
Hey Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite Hai Nanda Sunokutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kolindi Vanekutaha. In this way they were calling out, Hey Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Hey Nanda Sunokutaha. Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, my son of Nahara, Maharaj Nanda? Where are you? Are you on Govardhan? Are you by the bank of Jamuna? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
Tādā veidā viņi izteica savas jūtas. Ak, Radharani, ak, Nanda Maharaj dēls, kur jūs esat? Vai jūs esat uz Govardhan kalnu? Vai jūs esat pie Jamunas upes? Kur jūs esat?
They preferred not seeing Krishna and hankering him to actually seeing him because their love was more intense in that mood of separation.
Viņi deva priekšroku neredzēt Krishna un ilgoties pēc tā, nekā redzēt Krishna.
Any other questions?
Vēl jautājumi?